some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling.
Is your mantra win whatever it takes, or are you more of a as long as I'm happy? Do you sit on that side of the fence? When it comes to ambition, we can have a pretty unhealthy relationship with it. We strive for what we think we want, and maybe our true passions fall to the wayside. Elon Musk revealed he works 120-hour weeks, sometimes going days without sleep. Mark Zuckerberg's obsession with Facebook's financial and user growth arguably led to, well, maybe Russian interference. So why are so many people so ambitious? And is it a little bit overrated? Andrew May is a performance coach and founder of Strive Stronger, and he works alongside CEOs and high-tier professionals. Andrew, welcome.
Patricia, good afternoon. Fascinating introduction. I think Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg literally need to get a life.
They need to get a life. Okay, devil's advocate. Maybe they think they have a life and it's a good life and they're living their best life.
Yeah, look, it's always good to look at both sides, right? But I don't think there's a lot of many people who would work 120 hours a week, go without meals, go without significant relationships and say they have balance. But maybe it's all part of this big plan. And that's the thing with Drive, right? Some people will say, look, I've got a two-year, three-year, five-year focus, and it is win at all costs. And if you're an athlete wanting to go to the Olympics or to win a major achievement in music or the arts, sometimes you actually have to literally put your life on hold to achieve that.
Tell me about some of the people you coach from a performance perspective. Are they, you know, top dogs, happy to kind of, you know, have a work-life balance? Like, what sort of people do you deal with?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. There's some I can tell you and there's some I can't. I've worked with AFL players, Olympic athletes. I worked with the Australian cricket team. I now work with a number of CEOs, some of them in the top 20 ASX. I work with people you'd know in the media, and I work with a number of entertainers. So a lot of that's confidential. But what I can tell you is that there's two main things we look at with drive. There's psychologists talk about primary drive. That is staying alive, food, shelter, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. What we're really talking about in your setup is secondary drive, which is around achievement, trophies, and all that stuff. I think there's two things, Patricia, we need to look at. One is achievement and the other one is fulfillment, and you can have them both. Meaning, I know some high achievers who win trophies, travel around the world, build great businesses, and they have meaning, pleasure, and purpose. I know some really so-called successful people who are miserable.
So, do ambitious people have certain qualities? Is it different for each of us?
I think if you look at highly, highly driven, which we probably used to call the type A, they're the ones that can be win at all costs. You know, I'm going to put my life on hold, relationships on hold. I actually think you can have both, meaning I think you can achieve and you can be fulfilled. But it comes down to what is your definition of success? Over the years, I've met some people who don't have big titles or don't have big homes, but they're great mothers and fathers, and they're great partners, and they're great community members. So really, I'm going to get a bit deep with you, but a lot of that comes down to what is your purpose? And I think if you are clear on your purpose, that makes a big difference to actually having that fulfillment and, you know, feeling like you're contributing.
So how do you know when you're encouraging your clients in a healthy way, and how do you know when you stop pushing them? I mean, how do you make that determination?
Yeah, it's a great question. I often ask them what seems like a really basic question, Patricia, but, you know, you've got all this Western definition of success, money, power, kudos, but I'm going to ask you a really simple question. They sort of look at me and they wait for this really big, groundbreaking question, and I'll say, are you happy? Yeah, do you have fun and joy and pleasure and laughter in your life? And if they say no, we really start to dig deep and look at why not. And how do you bring that in? So I don't think it's necessarily either or. Either I'm successful or I'm happy. It's how do you have both?
And ambition is seen as being a workaholic, right? They're seen as linked concepts. Am I right?
Look, you hear people like Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and others as well talking about that. I don't think it's correct. I think there's this whole glamorizing the entrepreneur or the startup now who, you know, he or she throws their life away and it's, you know, burned every night. That might work for some, but you know, most of us are going to live to 80, 90 if we look after ourselves. So I try and get my clients to play, you know, a longer game, have a life along the way. So it might take you, you know, 10 years rather than 4 or 5, but what's the point in burning out in the way and having no fun?
All right, so in saying that, you concede that it may take longer and there may be trade-offs if you don't go in and go hard.
Yeah, look, it is a trade-off. If I ever get a young athlete who says, Andrew, I want to represent Australia, I want to, you know, play for the Aussie cricket team, I want to, you know, play professional sport, and I want to have a really balanced life, I'll also go choose a different vocation. Meaning if you want to be the best in Australia or the best in the world, you've got to be really unbalanced, probably for a decade, sometimes 2 decades, depending on what your vocation is. So there's a trade-off, right? And that's what I think it really comes down to for the high performer in their domain. Are they prepared to make the trade-off? But I think this is a really important point. I think you can have success without collateral damage, meaning you might put a few things on hold, but don't burn your relationships, don't burn your mental health, don't burn your physical health, and don't burn some of those interests that, you know, give you a bit of spark and give you a bit of renewal and joy.
Okay. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Patricia.
Andrew May is a performance coach and the founder of Strive Stronger.